Okay. So, papaubaya ko sa inyo, anong gusto nyong sanction? Okay. Oh, sige. Alright, anong gusto mo? 3 days, 3 months of famine? 3 days of the Lord? Or 3 days falling into the hands of God? Okay. Alright. We're going to shift gears and talk about a different topic. This is actually, well, my second time to teach on this, but this is really the first time I'm teaching on this particular subject. I'm sure you've had so many teachings on leadership, but the kind of leadership I want to speak to you about is called empowering leadership. Now, I know this is one of the buzzwords out there, and hopefully we're going to learn something, not just new, but something relevant for us as a ministry and in our line of work. But prior to that, I want to show you some well-known leaders, some of them well-known, some of them you may not know, but they're all well-known, okay? What did I just say? Okay, anyway. Okay. Pakita mo nga. Tingnan nyo kung kilala nyo sa mga mukha lang, okay? Wala naman yata pangalan eh. This is what, in the last 100 years or so? Okay. 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 Sino nga ba yan? Hindi ko kilala yan. Yung previous, yan ba yung nauna? Talaga? Sakit. Huh? Hindi yan eh. Yun yung second set dapat eh. Yung una, si ano? Okay. Hindi. Sige, i-scroll mo lang. Ano ba yung mga ano? Mabilis lang. Huwag mong pakita sa kanila. Backtrack mo kaya. Wala. Sino yan? Okay. Nene, wala yung unang set. You know what? It's alright. Sayang eh. Hindi natin na-impact. But I guess si Ado yung gumawa last time eh. Wala si Ado. It's alright. Wala yung iba. I-Google mo kaya, okay? Sige, maghalubilo muna kayo, okay? Meron ba tayong internet access? Yung ano lang, Time Life Magazine showcases the 15 great leaders throughout history. If you can go on Google. I think that's the first one that... Okay. O, sige, sumayaw sayo muna kayo dyan, okay? Yata nakita may sumayaw. All right. I just Googled the, you know, it's a long, long list of greatest leaders, but this one was the one of the first that came out, so I just chose it. Who do we have? Okay, who's that guy? His original name was Mohandas Gandhi, okay, yeah? He led the nonviolent revolution that changed India, okay? See if you can get, who's that guy? His name is Vince Lombardi. We may not know him, but he's legendary coach of the Green Bay Packers. That's a football team in America. CJ? Come on, CJ. Okay, next. Okay, Franklin D. Roosevelt. D. Roosevelt, 32nd President of the United States. The guy in the car. Okay, not the guy. Okay. Okay, hindi nakabahag, hindi nakasaya, okay? Yeah, exactly. And he led America through the Great Depression. And actually, the meltdown. Okay, who's that guy? Steve Jobs. Okay. Hindi ba Tom Selleck? Okay, next. Nelson Mandela. Okay, we know him. Abolished through him, apartheid was abolished. Who's this girl? Gloria Steinem, writer and feminist leader. Again, this is a secular list. Okay, so next. Okay, Golda Meir, former prime minister of Israel, led Israel at the time of great uncertainty there. I think she was assassinated, if I remember correctly. Next, Martin Luther King. You know, when I first heard him, you know, his recording of his speech, you know, I Have a Dream, when I heard it, it's like this is the closest example that I have heard of what a modern day, of what a prophet is. When he spoke, your spirit would be stirred up. It's like, you know, when he would speak, I mean, it wasn't just the shaking of his voice. There was something on the inside of you that was stirred. And again, unfortunately, this man was assassinated, but he turned the whole issue of civil rights, you know, and again, up until that time, you know, the discrimination against the black people was very prevalent in that part of the country. But Winston Churchill, wartime president, he saved England from really being overrun by Germany. Next, Douglas MacArthur, okay, United States World War hero. Is there anyone else? Eleanor Roosevelt, the former First Lady. Apparently, she, you know, when after her husband FDR finished his term, she went on and became a very prominent social reformer. Apparently, she was the one who crafted the Universal Declaration of Human Rights of the United Nations. So this woman made such an impact. Okay, so anyway, so that's a sampling of leaders. Now, who are the other guys that you saw earlier? Who was Gokal, okay? Gopal, okay? Pakilabas mo nga. Oop. Yan, who was this guy? Who's Gopal Krishan? Why is he... Why should he be here on the list of the greatest leaders? The reason he's here is because he was the one who mentored Mahatma Gandhi. Okay, thank you. At least it still had its effect. How about the next one? Who's Walter Sisulu? He mentored Nelson Mandela. Para magkamukha, ano? Okay? Okay? Okay, next. Benjamin Elijah Mace mentored Martin Luther King. Okay. Next, Burke Cochran. Who did he mentor? Winston Churchill. Okay. Arthur MacArthur. Douglas MacArthur. I guess that's an easy. Tatay niya tayan eh, if I'm not mistaken. Captain Pike. Kirk. Actually, hindi na lumabas doon sa time, but he was considered, Captain Kirk was actually one of the hero, one of the leaders in the time life. Hindi siya lumabas doon eh. So that's who mentored him, okay? Hindi niyo makilala yan? Sa Star Trek, okay? No, he was part of the list. Hindi lumabas doon sa Google, pero kasama yun. Kaya sinami yan. Okay? Next. That's it? All right, thank you. So, okay? That would be nice, isn't it? To make our own list of the... I think we can all either place ourselves there or on the other side, isn't it? But I think that makes a strong statement about what empowering leadership is all about. As I wrote here, okay, kala ko yung pintuan bumukas eh. Okay? Time Life showcases 15 great leaders throughout history and their contribution to society, but we must also give credit to those who mentored and empowered them to become who they were. And, you know, this subject of empowering leadership is very relevant in our study and the practice of leadership in such diverse fields as politics, business, social, and even religious spheres. Someone said it this way. I think it was Leonard Sweet who said that leadership is one of the most studied and talked about subjects, but the least understood. When I was taking my master's in education in Ateneo, one of the courses I took had to do with leadership, and I was forced to study, and I became very fascinated with this whole subject of leadership. You know, from Robert Greenleaf of Servant Leadership to, I forgot his first name, Bass, who talked about transformational leadership. I don't know if you've ever, you know, I know you, I'm sure you've read books on leadership, but most of it has perhaps been from a Christian perspective, but guess what? Leadership is talked about even more so in secular fields. And so, it's so talked about, but it's least understood. And what's happened is, in the last, 20 to 30 years, a shift has taken place in this whole subject and understanding of leadership. And what's happening more and more now, the top-down, autocratic, militaristic type of leadership is becoming passé. Okay, for a different kind of leadership. Okay, and that kind of leadership is what we call empowering leadership. Now, we're going to understand this session, and then we're going to, you know, the second, after this, the third session, we're going to look at some more practicals. But I want to share with you some concepts. Okay, so this is really more just giving you some initial understanding of what it is. But, you know, when you think about empowering leadership, in a way it is a paradox. Because inherent in leadership is what? The exercise of authority and power. But when you say you're a leader, it implies that you have a measure of that. And to empower somebody implies that you're going to give that power to the people whom you are leading. Okay? However, as we examine this subject, we'll come to understand that this is not really the case. That what is amazing is when you empower others, you don't really lose the power that you give, but you extend it to the people you are leading and working with. Okay? So again, these are concepts. Okay? This is a broader, don't just think of church leadership, just think of leadership in general. What is the purpose of empowerment and the principles behind it? Empowerment, okay, it's all in your notes, is the process by which power is transferred and released from one person to another in order to accomplish a task. And I want to highlight that because leadership, all of these things, you can have a plethora. Maybe let's do that. Okay, let me, I didn't plan on this, but I'm curious. Can you give me a definition of leadership right off the cuff? I mean, don't look at your works. At least from your perspective, what is leadership to you? Okay. So I'm going to ask for volunteers. If there are no volunteers, then I'm going to call some people. Okay, 3 or 4 people. Okay, good. Bern.
What is leadership to you?
Leadership is responsibility.
Okay. Responsibility. What else? Yes, Joey.
Servant.
Servanthood. Okay. Okay, I'm thinking of a more a functional definition, if you will.
But it's okay.
Leadership's about serving people.
Okay. Okay. Something, yes, Venoa. Do you have influencing? Okay.
Okay. Leadership is leading people to the same goal.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I mean, all this thus far that you've said is part of leadership, but I'm looking for a working definition. You describe it. What is leadership? Okay. Yeah, Jeff.
Leading by example.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. Daniel.
It's getting people where they need to be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. I think that expands it a little more. Okay. Again, let me try to take a stab at it myself. Leadership is maybe I'll try to use the key words. Okay, it's leadership is motivating, inspiring, and directing people, a group of people, to accomplish a common task. I don't know. Again, that's not an exhaustive one, but can you imagine? We talk so much about it, about leadership, but somehow we have to grasp for words to describe it. It's leading a group of people. I think, I don't know if it was Dan or Daniel who said that, about it's working towards a common goal. It's a group of people, okay? If there's no people behind you, then you're not really leading anything, right? It has to do with a group of people. Okay, that you're directing, but when I say directing, it's not ordering or commanding so much as it is to have them work together in some way so that they can accomplish or go a certain direction. Okay, again, I don't want to prolong that, but it has as a function. I think that's what, and yes, it has influence, and yes, it is responsibility, and yes, it's all of those things that you mentioned. But those are just components of what it means to lead. And so I guess I'm just trying to reinforce what I just read as wrote here, that yes, there's a transference of power. It involves that it's not just leading people but empowering them to accomplish a common task. I think that's really what I wanted to focus on. It's towards something. Okay. You know, when was it? I think in our lunch, you know, we had a senior pastors meet staff dev yesterday, and we had lunch with Gilbert Foliente, with Jure Mora, and we were just reminiscing our own college days, because I think they're celebrating their 25th high school reunion. That's Gilbert, Pastor Gilbert. And I was telling, I remember when I was in UP, I wasn't saved then yet, okay? And, we would study, but we would also, you know, I don't know what the term is, chill out or something. Or gigimi kami. And I remember the earliest time that I cut classes and would drink was 8 o'clock in the morning, okay? There's a place there in the UP area. Not UP, dun sa may stud farm. I forgot the name, Nanets yata. Beer tsaka yung chicharon. Yung talagang alas 8 ng umaga, mga kapatid, talagang. And I remember, yung mga kaklase ko, mga lasalista yung mga barkada ko eh, na engineering. Ano lahat yung mag-gimmick eh, pero I think it was me who actually, my point is, I was leading them to accomplish a common task, okay? Was to get drunk. Okay, but that was the only one, okay? If not for that, I don't think I would have passed engineering. But the point is, we all do that in some measure or another. But hopefully the leadership task that we're about is something that serves the purposes of God. Empowerment, okay, so it is the giving of power rather than acquiring it. A power that builds and liberates, not controls and destroys. Now, empowerment does involve delegation of authority and responsibility. That was already said earlier. But it is also sensitive to the needs and readiness of the follower. In other words, in delegating, you don't just, you know, put somebody in charge and then figure out what to do. It is a balancing act of challenge and support. Now, one of the earlier tasks I did, I've been a pastor since 1988, and I remember Pastor Steve talking of worship. I think my first week on the job, and I was an associate pastor in Makati, the original Makati church, and I remember Pastor Steve told me, you know, Manny, I want you to start leading worship. He told me that Sunday morning. So Sunday afternoon, I was already leading worship. Can you imagine? I mean, literally, no preparation, no, it was just, okay? Now, I think we've become a little more organized than that. But and I think, you know, if there's one common thing that we talk about Pastor Steve, that he is such an empowering leader. So, and rightfully so. Now, I think what enabled me to, you know, there's an old era of worship leaders from Robert Hearn, myself, and Julius Fabregas. Okay, believe it or not, we were all worship leaders then. The standards were not as high then, but after 94, 95, I think things changed, okay, after the first 10 years. But we sure had a great time, okay? The point is, it's not just delegating, but also giving support and encouragement. It's a balancing act that you do. That's what an empowering leader does. You don't just give that person a task. I mean, there's many more I could point out. I'm not trying to, you know, I remember even Pastor Steve, the first time we did Asian Invasion Conference, 93, okay? We've never really done, I mean, we've done conferences, you know, those, I don't know if some of you already were alive then. We had conferences in San Agustin Theater in Makati. Then the first Asian Invasion Conference we had, 93, was in PICC. Meron na ba sa inyo nakapunta noon, 93? Okay, yeah, you guys. And I remember that was the first time I did a conference of that magnitude. Pastor Steve just delegated it to me, and he just gave me some guidelines, but pretty much I was left to figure out how to mobilize people. And there was a side benefit to that because Pastor Steve had just hired Minnie Yuzon, okay, as his secretary at that time, okay? And since he was going back to the States for 2 months, so since Minnie wasn't going to do anything, so she assigned Minnie to me to help me. And so I guess that was more than empowering that took place, okay? But, and I was, you know, being a church secretary is actually a very good position. You know, you're very visible, okay? For you ladies, okay? So, anyway. Now, of course, I know you're all on campus, but whatever position you are in. So, anyway, what do you call that? So, inasign lang ko, and I was very impressed with her, and I actually empowered her as well. You know, I gave her some tasks. She just did it. She always came back. I mean, before the deadline, okay, before the deadline, she would give it to me. And so I was very impressed. Wow. And now, years later, now I know why. I mean, she, can you imagine, she told me in her high school days, her classmates would get mad at her because there would be a paper that's required a week from now, 3 days or 4 days before, sinasubmit na niya. Can you imagine? Okay, no wonder her number one theme is responsibility, okay? That's my number four. So at home, sometimes we have a clash because when you're both responsible and someone's more responsible than you, you know, you won't take that. I mean, I know I'm responsible. You know why? It's like, I don't want to be reminded. Anyway, the point is, you know, those were empowering days, okay? And I think you just gave the job and just figure out what to do, so. Anyway, I know that as a ministry we're that, but I want us to understand more and more what that really entails, okay? A person is empowered when power they don't have is released to them, not in a constrictive, manipulative way, type of control that results in dependence or conformity. I don't know if you've, I know this might be sensitive because I know some of you are working for one another or some of your senior leaders. And sometimes I know it can be stifling if you're given a task. And it's important to set parameters. But if you're micromanaged, you also feel stifled. You understand what I'm saying, okay? But I hope you see this not just for the one who's leading you, but what about the people you're leading and empowering as well, okay? There has to be that balance of, as I said, authority and responsibility. You cannot have authority, you cannot have responsibility, rather, without the commensurate authority to make decisions. Yes, Joe.
What you were saying, even with the first page, it says empowering leadership is a paradox because leadership is the exercise of authority and power. And even I'm just coming from that mindset that we described, that you described about there's a shift with the way people lead now that's very anti-authoritarian, and they're against powers, and people can take that to the extreme as well. Yeah. And empowering leadership is not like that. It still recognizes that there is authority.
Yeah.
And there is power, but it's not used in the way that...
Yeah.
In fact, it's not even diminished. It's actually expanded. Mm-hmm. And I think of your example of Pastor Steve, who was extremely empowering, and yet, even now, that, you know, technically he doesn't have any say in the day-to-day decisions here. Mm-hmm. But because of your relationship with him and how he's developed all of you, mm-hmm. I mean, everyone... is eager to consult with him, and in a sense, he's expanded his power. He can leave the Philippines, but his influence over us is still huge.
Very good. Let me digress a little bit and comment on what you just said. I agree, it's true that there's a shift now, and I said that earlier, from, and I guess it's more of a disdain for authoritative types of leadership. But I also learned this, and this is not part of the subject, but something for you to think about. There's a concept in leadership called situational leadership. Situational, not meaning situational ethics, because you know situational ethics is compromise ethics. Situational leadership, meaning the kind of leadership style that you should display is dependent on the situation that you are facing. My point is, if you're at war. I think we all understand, you cannot, if you have a consensus bridge-building type of leadership, you're going to be blasted out already. There is a need sometimes to be authoritative and be a dictator. It's when there's a crisis that usually that kind of leadership is called for. But, and if it's peacetime, then if you're that type of leader, then you're going to find yourself, nobody wants to follow you. And again, a glaring example of that was none other than Winston Churchill. During war, he was a hero. After the war, they didn't like him anymore because of the style of leadership that he has. And so my point is, again, this is such a fascinating subject for me. This is one thing I've wanted to learn more and more about the study of leadership. But it's also contingent on the situation you're facing. Now, certainly we're not in a wartime. We're in a harvest time, and we want to harness as many people as possible. That's why I think empowering leadership is the kind of leadership that is needed for the hour because of the great work that is before us. Okay? So anyway, appreciate that comment. Now, a person is empowered when what power they don't have is released on them, not in a constricted, manipulative way that controls... but that results in dependence or conformity, but instead allows the person to express their God-given gifts in doing the work. Parker Palmer, there was supposed to be a period there, said this, "We must understand that the great leaders are those who evoke not the fears of other people, but their gifts." Now think about that. Whether it's, again, the ones leading you, when they lead you, do you feel like, man, I better align myself or else I'm going to get a sermon from my pastor or my leader? Or when the person is leading you, do you feel like, hey, I want to rise to this challenge and I'm going to use whatever gifting I have to? That's the kind of leadership that I think more and more is what is effective and is necessary in this day that we live in for the work that we are called to do. Okay? And of course, Jesus was the ultimate empowering leader when he reached out to the adulterer, the tax collector, the fisherman, set them free to follow, serve, and give themselves away. He empowered them to fulfill the Great Commission by giving them power from the Holy Spirit and by promising to be with them to the end of the age. He is the best example of an empowering leader. Okay? Now, what is the process of empowerment? How do we get empowered? According to Grace Barnes, in the process of divine empowerment, we become partners with God, empowered to accomplish his work, and to follow and lead at the same time, to be servant leaders. So I know you guys made reference to servanthood, and so this is where it is. Now, I want you to follow along this reasoning that she's giving, okay? I'm just quoting from her. She said the discipline of obeying, following, and serving God. Okay, we're called to be followers of Christ, right? You know, some of the best leaders are the best followers. And that's what we're going to learn here. The discipline of obeying, following, and serving God ironically leads to the development of leadership that serves and energizes others. The more we obey and serve God, the more we are given responsibility to become stewards who nurture, enhance, and allow for growth and development of others. So what's our conclusion? This is not George Grace Barnes anymore. We learn from this statement that servant leadership is empowering leadership. As we serve and follow Jesus, we are entrusted with His authority and power so that we can in turn help others become His followers who will eventually be entrusted with the same authority and power. This sure sounds a lot like 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, isn't it? And the things you heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to others, to faith, reliable men, I'm sorry, who will be qualified to teach others. And this is a reproducing process. If you are a good follower of Christ, that actually becomes the basis or the credentials that you need and to have to become effective leaders as well. Okay? If you're that type of a leader, you will end up being an empowering leader. So in the process of empowering, some argue that you don't really give power to somebody, but rather help them discover power. Okay? An example is teaching a child to walk. Think about that. You know, when your children, those of you who have children, know the thrill of seeing your children begin to walk. And think about it. That child had the ability to walk in and out within himself or herself. But what you needed to do was guide that child. Aakayin mo muna, di ba? Medyo ipaprop up mo muna. And then give him enough experience of falling down. You know, and then after a while, this child begins to realize, hey, I can do this on my own. And boom, once he starts doing that, okay? And as those of your parents know, it's a good thing, but it's also a bad thing. Now you can't contain them anymore, okay? They'll start running all around, and you have to corral them, okay? That's a picture of empowering leadership. Inaakay mo lang siya. Hindi siya nasa walang, meron siyang power from within him. And it's what the power, it's not the superheroes, it's, we know ultimately the power coming from the power of God, the Holy Spirit in a person's life, enabling him to accomplish the call of God on his life. So that is the process of empowering. Training them to be servant leaders, and that makes them, qualifies them to become empowering leaders. Servant leadership is empowering leadership. Now, again, these concepts may not resonate right away, but think about that for a moment. And we'll have a time of interaction. Okay, next, the practice of empowerment. In the past, leadership studies have focused on the influence of great men who had bigger than life influences on people in history. But because of the rapid change in the world, there is a need for new ways to view and develop leadership. The greatest opportunity is to unlock the laity so they can achieve their greatest capacity. The rise of the seven-day-a-week church shows that the role of leadership is spreading throughout the church rather than being focused on one individual pastor. And I think this is so true for us as a church movement. Because of the... And certainly there are people worth emulating and, you know, prominent leaders. But what I really like about our own ministry movement is there's not one personality that is a larger-than-life personality. Okay? It's what I hope that's what's being seen is at least a team of leaders who have their own giftings and strengths and working together be an example to others and end up accomplishing greater things. You know, I remember Pastor Steve in the earlier days when he would talk with Paul Chase and pastor of a great church, you know, in Alabang, and you know, he made a comment. Maybe you've heard this from Pastor Steve. He would invite him once in a while to preach when he would go to the States. And Pastor Steve would say, you know, how Sure, he'd be glad. But after doing that a few years, he realized, I don't want to do that anymore. I have some Filipino pastors who can do that for you. Okay, so he had them, a number of us, preach. Then after that, he said, hey, where do you get all these leaders? And he said, you don't want to know. In other words, he was so impressed with the leaders, and he wondered, how did these leaders come about? Okay? And he said, well, you get them from the students, you get them from sinners, okay? From people who are down and out and up and out, who have no vision, no future, no thing about their lives. You give them, bring them to Christ, clean them up, disciple them, cast out the devils, come on. Okay? And then begin to give them a vision for their lives. And then he said, can we hire some of them? He said, yes, sure, you can try. Okay, anybody want to work for, if you can offer them, and if they want to, then sure, they're yours. And again, certainly Paul Chase, and he has leaders now, by the way, according to him, but it's a long process, isn't it? It's not an easy thing. In fact, with our churches growing so rapidly, you know, everybody's looking for leaders. I mean, you guys are a precious commodity here, okay? All of you, okay? And I mean that in an encouraging way. But if we're not reproducing leaders, we're not doing part of our job. Okay? It's good to have a crowd, but we have to have more than a crowd. And so, as I said, the milieu that we have right now is such that we really have to accelerate the ability to raise leaders. And let me tell you, raising leaders is not overnight. Okay? Think of what you were. Not many of you were, okay, wise. Not many of you were of noble birth. Not many of you, but God chose the foolish things, including myself, okay? Come on. It's good to have that appraisal of yourself, okay? Sure, you may be a natural leader. It's kind of funny because when we were having our leadership summit, Pastor Steve said that if we looked at all of us among the senior leaders of this movement, there was really not so much of a natural leader except for Pastor Junes Cosar. I mean, he was a leader in everything. And maybe Pastor Joey because he was an entrepreneur. But most of us, nothing impressive, okay? Because really what we're looking for are spiritual leaders, okay? Not leaders of whatever, you know, spiritual leaders. So, Joe?
Yeah, this is really helpful, Pastor Manny. Just the idea of empowering leadership. And parang the verse that comes to mind, and I know this is out of context completely. Labo, you know, what an introduction. You know, one putting 1,000 to flight. And as campus missionaries, if we do the work ourselves, mm-hmm. we'll probably do the work that will result in 10, 20, 30, maybe 100 if we're anointed people coming. But if we are empowering as leaders, then we can put, 1,000 to flight. And I think of Pastor Mark Tusoy, our kids pastor here at the Fort. And how many kids come here on a weekend service, Robert? 1,600 children. And he's not a very good preacher. And he's actually kind of boring sometimes. But because he's such an empowering leader, he has so many people that he's empowered to train them to become kids' church preachers. In fact, yung mga kinukuha ni Pastor Paul na nag-offering sa service niya, galing kids' church yun. Because, I mean, yung network niya napakalawak. And that's how, the picture that's coming to my mind, even as I look around this room and I think of our campus ministry, you know, we've got 160 campus missionaries when these people graduate. Mm-hmm. We have 200 counting the ones who are raising support now. But that isn't the accurate number. Because if the 200 represents all of us just doing, I do my work, CJ does his work, that's not going to be as much compared to 200 people who empower mm-hmm. students all over the place as ushers, as worship leaders, as preachers, maybe as disciple makers, speakers in seminars. Parang what? Gano kalawak yung network natin ito. Mm-hmm. Parang ganun.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay. Let me. Any other comment? Yeah, please, Paul.
That's a question.
Okay. laity. That means lay leaders, people who are not vocational ministers. Now, there's a question I wanted you to interact on. I'd like you to, again, to interact on your, at least in your table. And I'd like you in your own table, based on, again, based on these concepts that I've given you, can you identify some core elements of what it means to be an empowering leader? Identify some core elements. Okay, what goes into, if you're an empowering leader, what does that mean? What do you have to have? Okay. So we'll give you until 11 to do that. And I want to post it and see at least what core elements that go with it, okay? Traits or attitudes perhaps you need to have if you're going to be an empowering leader, or the attitudes of the people that you're empowering, okay? So again, it's a very open-ended question, but I want you to interact with this concept. Yes, but but that can also include certain things about the people whom you're empowering. Yeah, it's to be an empowering leader, what does that entail or involve? Yeah. If your groups can distill it to about maybe 4 or 5 elements at most, you know, get an initial list and then fine-tune it, and then let's see what comes out, okay? Okay, 1 more minute. Okay. Sige, you can go ahead and take a break. I'd like to ask for a scribe, a volunteer scribe, one who has the best penmanship to write later on. We're just going to do a simple collation and then we'll see if something comes out, okay? But take your break now. So make sure you distill your elements into 4 or 5, okay?